Thank you. Great to see everybody. This is quite a crowd, right? We're busting out at the seams. Well, it sure is a blessing. It's always a joy to get together around God's Word, because this is what we all love. This is what our lives are all about. This is why we do what we do. This is why we came together, you know, because we all love God and we love His wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we all have the same grace. We all have the same forgiveness. We all have the same sanctification, the same justification, the same righteousness in Him. And He has set us all on high. He has raised us all up with Him and sat us on His right hand. And that's why we have such great joy when we get together. You know, it doesn't matter where our backgrounds are from, where we've come from. It matters only where we all sit. And I'm not talking about this room. I'm talking about the throne room of our Heavenly Father. We sit on His right side. You know, He has graced us. He has been so merciful to bring us all up and out of, well, I don't know where, you know, but I just know it was not good. It was not good. No matter how good it might have seemed, it was not good. But now we all sit in the heavenlies with Christ. I'd like to go to Matthew this morning and look at some things. We're going to start in Matthew 8. It follows a description, the record of Jesus Christ's Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter 7, it closes with a description of the people that heard Him being amazed at how He taught them, because He taught them with authority. He taught them with authority. And Jesus Christ could teach with authority because He knew who He was. He knew who God was. He didn't look in the mirror and say, "How you doing, God?" No, He looked in the mirror and said, "You are the only begotten Son of God. You are sent to perform. You are sent to fulfill." And He believed what God had sent Him to do. And so He could speak with authority. And He astounded those people with how He spoke and taught of God and of the kingdom of God. But more than that, it continues in chapter 8. He not only spoke with authority, He lived His life with authority. He moved forward with the authority that God had given Him as His only begotten Son, and performed signs, miracles, and wonders among God's people. It says in verse 1 of chapter 8, when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him, because they were astonished at how this man spoke and taught. And beheld, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, "Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou can make me clean." His only desire was to know if the Lord, the only begotten Son of God, was willing to heal him. That's the only thing he really needed to know. If you desire, if you want to, you can heal me. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, "I will. Be thou clean." And when it says, "Be thou clean," it's a command. See, Jesus Christ not only spoke with authority, not only taught with authority, but He ministered to everyone who came to Him with authority. With the God-given authority that He knew He had. He looked at that man with leprosy and He said, "Be clean." No ifs, ands, ors about it. Be clean. He commanded him to be clean. He commanded that leprosy to be clean. And immediately was the result. Immediately. The man's leprosy was cleansed. Immediately. Because when we come with faith, with confidence, with trust, with believing, we get what we come for. We get what we come for. This man received what he came for. Jesus said unto him, "See that thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." For a testimony unto these priests. Show them that the kingdom of God is at hand. See, in this time, leprosy and a lot of other diseases were under the confines of the law. There were certain things that they had to do. When they had leprosy, they were not allowed to live among the general public. They had to live outside of the walls of the city. They had to speak only to others that were leprous. If ever they had to come into the town, which sometimes they could, they needed to get their food or whatnot, they would come in, they would be totally garbed. They would have clothing wrapped all around them to hide themselves. And they would walk down the street, and if they would come to anyone, the only thing that they would be allowed to say to anyone who is not leprous is, "Unclean, unclean. Unclean." Even the priests knew that a leper's only hope was God. This leper came to Jesus Christ. They were also limited to the distance they could come. Physical distance. They couldn't come within 6 feet of another person. Like Charlie and I, that's it. If I was a leper, I couldn't get any closer than Charlie. And if the wind was blowing right, even 100 feet wouldn't do it. That's serious. That was their law. And he stood at a distance from the Lord and he said, "If you want to, you can heal me." And Jesus Christ didn't say, "Well, just stay there until you're healed. Don't come close." No, he came to the man and he said, "I will. Now be clean." That's having authority and knowing it. And then he said to him, "You don't talk to anybody, you go to the priest," because that's what they were required to do under the law. "Now you go to the priest and you show yourself to the priest, and the priest that is qualified to recognize whether you're clean or not will be able to pronounce you clean." This is an amazing record of healing. But it's not beyond the scope of daily living when people believe God and they believe in what the Lord Jesus Christ has made available. He continues at verse 5. Let's look. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And saying, "Lord, my servant..." I read that already. Verse 7. And Jesus said unto him, "I will come and heal him." I will come and heal him. He knew, because that centurion made the effort to come to him to tell him, that he was believing. He was believing for Jesus to heal him. And the centurion answered and said unto him, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Just speak the word. Just say that he's healed. And he will be healed. "For I'm a man under authority. I understand what authority is. Having soldiers unto me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth; to another, come, and he cometh; to my servant, do this, do it, I command you to do it." And what does he do? He does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And this is the type of faith that he was building as he walked and as he spoke and as he taught. He was building this kind of confidence and trust toward God. And toward him as the Son of God. And yet Israel, by and large, was rejecting him. Not all of them. Many were getting delivered. Many were getting healed. That leper got healed. He came with faith. "And I say unto you that many shall come from east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out in outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, in other words, why didn't we listen? And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that self same hour. Be it. You believe it? Good, go. You don't need me. You don't need me to come. That would just be ceremonial. And we all know we got plenty of that in this culture. We have plenty of that here too, don't we? He said, go. You know, it's interesting that he didn't ask that centurion what he had done yesterday or the week before, or if he'd been at synagogue, or if he was, he didn't even ask him if he was a proselyte, right? That's the Gentiles that would come and worship the true God. Right? Didn't ask him. He didn't care. You know, religion wants to seek out your credentials. But God and His only begotten Son only wants to know, do you believe? Do you believe right now? Do you believe? Do you believe that the power of God is available to heal you? Do you believe it? Some people say, well, yeah, I believe it, but I don't believe that I'm worthy of it. Jesus Christ solved that issue as well. Look at chapter 9. You know, there are so many great things here. Did we read verse 13? The centurion's, go thy way. I didn't finish, did I?
No.
Well, look back at verse 13. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that self same hour. His servant was healed. Chapter 9, verse 1, it says, he entered into a ship and he passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. They brought him to Jesus Christ. And Jesus, seeing their faith, he saw their faith. He saw the effort that it took for them to bring this lame man, this palsied man, to them on his bed. Why, that takes faith. You know, when was the last time someone brought someone to you that was sick on with the palsy? Or sick with cancer? Bedridden. And they brought him. That takes confidence that they're and believing that there's going to be some result. You know, all we want to do is say, well, let the doctors take care of it. Oh, you can't bring him to fellowship. They believe God for healing, yes, I know, but you can't bring them to fellowship. My gosh, what would that take? That'd take a medical transport. Now, these people, they were serious. They believed God. They believed that the power of God was present within the life of Jesus Christ to heal them. And they made whatever effort was necessary to get to Him. He saw their faith and he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And literally, it's in the perfect tense. It's literally, he said to him, your sins have been forgiven. Your sins have been forgiven. Now, at this time, the Pharisees were very, very much involved in thinking that you're sick because you have sinned. You have this physical problem because you did something wrong. You are a sinner. You remember the record where they came to Jesus Christ and said, hey, Lord, Master, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, they were so religious they couldn't even see the illogic of that question. How could he have sinned before he was born? Who sinned, him or his parents You see, that's why I've always said that religion is a virus. It attacks the brain. It attacks the brain and it just makes it twist and tie a knot so that it cannot think logically anymore. See, they were so consumed with the idea that you're sick because of your sin. And yet, that's not what the Word of God tells us at all. It's not what the Scripture teaches. There is sickness among us because of Adam's transgression. That's why there's sickness. Not because of your sin. Never because of your sin. Now, it may be because of your doing. You know, you may get sick because of what you do sometimes. You know, you may decide, I'm going to eat 45 Big Macs this month. And I'm going to eat 50 next month. And I'm going to live my life eating Big Macs. Yeah, right, right. Yeah, right. Now, at the end of a year or two, you might find yourself with your cholesterol levels through the roof. That's your doing. You know, you might smoke 5 cigarettes or 5 really good cigars every day for 20 years. And you may have a problem because of that physically. But it's not your sin that did it. It's your doing. See, some people get diseases they had nothing to do with anything. They've tried to keep themselves healthy. They've eaten right. They've exercised. And they find themselves sick. It's not because of sin. It's never because of sin. And yet, within the framework of life, we have to deal with that. Sometimes religion puts on you things that are not true. And you have to get past that. This man, and among his associates, were probably thinking, you know, you've got some sin in your life. Remember Job? His miserable comforters. You know, Job, the sooner you face your sin, the better off you'll be. We all know it, Job. Come on. What's the matter with you? You got to know it, man. Miserable comforters. Look, you don't have to tell me I have sin. I know that I have sin. You know you have sin in your life. Jesus Christ came not imputing people's sin unto them, right? It says in Corinthians. He didn't talk about their sin. He talked about the grace of God that was in their midst to heal them because they have been forgiven. We have been forgiven. That's why we have the right to be healed. Healing is a right to those that are forgiven. It's our right to live life in health and prospering because we have been forgiven. The sooner we get that through our heads, like this man, what was the core of the problem? What hurdle did he need to get over to get to that place himself to be healed? I'm forgiven? Think of standing face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ and Him looking at you and going, your sins are forgiven. Man, we'd be jumping for joy. And yet, that's the truth. Because in Christ, we do have remission of sins. In Christ, we do have forgiveness. What a great record. And behold, certain of the scribes, verse 3, said within themselves, this man blasphemes. They said it within themselves. They heard what he said. And they stopped and thought to themselves, how can he say that? He's blaspheming. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he had a pretty good handle on these guys, you know. He had a pretty good handle on these guys. That's why we have all made him our Lord. That's why we say, man, we had a great, what a man. He was on top of it. And he looked, he just kind of maybe out of the corner of his eye. I know what they're thinking. And he looked at him and he said, what? Jesus, knowing their thoughts, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? What are you thinking evil in your hearts? For what is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise and walk? What's easier to say? Well, you guys know what's easier to say. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath the power, hath the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then said he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. Go on home. And he rose. He arose and departed into his house. But the multitude saw it, and they marveled. They marveled and glorified God, which had given such power, such authority unto men. What a tremendous thing. What a scene that must have been. Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. What? They are? I mean, I just came here to be healed. And you're going to tell me I'm forgiven too? Whoa, man. Boy. See, covered it all. Covered it all. There's another record I wanted to look at before we go to Corinthians and maybe even Romans, but in Luke 17. This is a great record too. Because sometimes we don't always see what we've received in manifestation until we begin to move. Verse 11 of Luke 17, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, as he was coming into this village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They stood afar off. They stood at a fair distance from him, a legal distance from him. And they called him. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They knew who he was. And they knew what they could receive from him if they would believe. And they did. They came. And all they wanted was, have mercy on us. You know what mercy is the withholding of righteous judgment. Again, once again in their minds, you know, it was clouded with this obstructed consciousness of sin. And when he saw them, he said unto them, well, what he didn't say was, come here, I want to talk. Come here. Come a little closer and let me minister to you. This is unbelievable. The authority that Jesus Christ walked with. He saw them. He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Go, just like the last one, the one leper that came to him. Go show yourself. Well, why did he say, go show yourself to the priest? Go show yourself to the priest. The leper's only going to go show himself to the priest because he wants to be pronounced clean. He wants to be thoroughly examined and pronounced that he's clean of his leprosy. He told them just to go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went. Now that is some believing. He said, go show yourself to the priests. They turned, they looked at each other, and they said, your fingers are still falling off, brother. But he said, go, so I guess let's go. And as they went, because they took that step of faith, because they took that step of believing and confidence in what the Lord had told them, go show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. And that's tremendous. You know, how many times have you, when you've known that ministering is available, you come and you get ministered to? And maybe you see it immediately. At times in the past, we've seen things immediate. We've seen healing immediate. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you don't receive it right away. You must walk out with that confidence that you are healed. And as you do, the healing comes. This instance right here. As they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice. He glorified God. Praise God, I'm healed! I'm clean! And I'm sure he just started tearing those, you know, robes off himself. And fell down on his face at his feet. He ran to the Lord Jesus Christ, fell down at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And the Samaritans, you know, they were at odds with Israel. They've been for a long time. And Israel, of course, all the Jews, they thought Samaritans were no better than dogs and, you know, all this. But here's this Samaritan, cleaned, cleansed because of his faith, because of his believing in what was available to him at the hands of Jesus Christ. And Jesus answered and said, "Wow, I thought there were 10 of you. Weren't there 10? Peter, was there 10? Or am I dreaming?" "But where are the 9? Where are the rest of you?" "There are not found. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." He's a Samaritan. But he knows where his healing came from. See? "And then he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made you whole." You believed, you received. When I told you to go see the priests, present yourself to the priests, you knew what that meant. And you went, even though you weren't healed. But as you went, you got healed. He came back and he fell at the Lord's feet to give thanks. What about the other 9? Was it right for them not to come back and say, "Thank you, Lord"? No. Would have been a good thing to do. Would have been a nice thing, nice gesture. Did they lose their healing? No. They were healed. See, the grace of God is so far greater than anything that we could ever think. You know, we're so consumed with our own sin that we lose sight of the grace of God. You know how religion propounds sin? It propounds it. It just tells you how bad you are all the time. "You stupid worm! You filthy, no good creep!" And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't do that to people. He simply said to them, "Your faith has made you whole." Not your flesh. Your faith. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith is what sets you on high. When you believe what God has provided for you through His Son, Jesus Christ, that is what sets you on high. That is what brings you to walk on the plane of the miraculous. That is when you do the works that Jesus Christ did and greater. When you decide that it's grace that has brought you here. It is grace that will keep you here in God's presence and as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's never our sin that God is concerned with, because He's taken care of it already. Right? Jesus Christ took our infirmities. He took our sicknesses, it says. Meaning that He took it upon Himself to deal with the cause of all the sickness. The cause of all the weakness and disease. He dealt with the sin problem once and for all. He became the offering for sin once and for all. To those who come to God with confidence, with believing, there is the encouragement. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. They are forgiven. Oh, but I don't know about this one. Your sins are forgiven. Oh, but that guy over there, how could he be forgiven? I mean, he was just such a creep to me. Your sins are forgiven. When we walk understanding and knowing within the depth of our heart that yes, our sins are forgiven, we have that now we know that we have a right to all the rest of the promises of God. Just like Jesus Christ had the authority over sin, over sickness, over devil spirits, so you and I also do. When we walk in faith, when we walk believing what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, we have authority over sin. It has no more hold on you anymore. The sin nature means nothing anymore. It's dead. It is buried. And we are now alive unto God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Jesus Christ became the payment. Even before He became the payment, even before He gave His life, He looked at that man and He said, "Be of good cheer, my son. Your sins are forgiven." Even before He made the offering, "Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." Because the minute Jesus Christ decided by the freedom of His will to fulfill the purpose that God had appointed Him to, He knew it was as good as done. That's why even though you and I walk around, you know, on this earth with this flesh, we're seated in the heavenlies. That's where we're seated. That's where we're seated now. That's where we are. That's the authority that we have. Verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constrains us." It's the love of Christ that constrains us. The love of Christ. You know, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Jesus Christ loved. He loved God first, and He loved us. That He would lay His life down. That's what constrains us. Not fear. The Word of God says it's God's love. It's the love of Christ, His only begotten Son, that constrains us. That's what motivates us to come to them. Not fear of our own sin and the penalties of it. It's the love of Christ that constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. We all died with Him. "And if He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He raised Him from the dead. After everything was complete and everything was totally finished and paid for, when the sin problem was totally taken care of, He raised Him from the dead. 3 days and three nights after He died. It says now we're alive with Him. And we should henceforth live not unto ourselves, but unto Him. You know, like the one leper that came back. Like the Samaritan healed of leprosy, he came back and he thanked Him. There are many, many people that are born again of God's Spirit, that receive the grace of God, that come and say, "You know, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord. I believe that God raised Him from the dead," and we're born again. And yet they never do come to this place that Samaritan came to. To not live unto ourselves anymore, but to live unto Him. Not that we all have to be monks now. Although, that's not a bad idea. They make some good beer. No, to live unto Him is to constantly be aware of what He's forgiven us for. Just wanted to check, make sure everybody's listening. See, it's about living in conscious awareness that man, it is by grace we're saved. And we have been placed on high on the right hand of God. We have the same authority that Jesus Christ had. We're seated on His right hand. And that seat is a seat of authority. It's the seat of power. And yet we walk around scratching our heads going, gee, I wonder if I could believe God to get this hangnail to heal. Come on, stop! You have got authority. We all do. Praise the Lord, we do. And when we recognize why we have it, we can walk in it. And it's not because we're good people. Although, you know, we try and be. Sure we do. But that's not why God said, sit on my right hand. Oh, you're pretty nice. Come on up here, sit. Nobody's ever done that. Nobody could ever do it. But in Christ, we are made the righteousness of God. That's why we have been given that authority. What if we ever just say, oh, the heck with my stupid flesh. I'm going to live unto Him. We'll see the greatness of His power again. Daily. Because every day there are needs in this world, aren't there? I have needs every day. Every day I get up, I go, oh, I need a little of this, I need a little of that. See, we're too preoccupied with that. And we're not to the place where we're willing to say, Lord, I'm going to live unto You. You know, I know You've called me. I know You've seated me. So allow me to be courageous enough to take the place of Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to tell everybody that. You just have to live it in here. You just live it in here. You know who you are. That's why it says in verse 16, wherefore henceforth now know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we Him no more. We don't know Him after the flesh anymore. We know Him as He is. Ascended, seated, glorified. And we should see ourselves that way. Do you see yourself that way? Or do you constantly look at yourself in the mirror according to your flesh? Yeah. Oh. We've got to know ourselves, not after the flesh. Because if we look at our flesh, we'll forget about our authority we have in Christ. But if we decide to live unto Him, and glorify Him by standing in this authority and moving with that, speaking with authority, not with conceit or condescension, but with authority, with the love of God as our motive. Therefore, if any man be in Christ... Are you in Christ? Yes, you are in Christ. I'm not talking about whether or not you believe it or not. You're in Christ. The moment you're born again, you're in Christ. The minute you're born again, you are God's kid. You are now righteous in Christ. And if you be in Christ, you're a new creature. You are a new creature. Old things are passed away. All that stuff having to do with the flesh and its sin and its shortcoming and its stupidity is all done away. All of it. Behold, all things are become new. New. And all new things, all those things that are new are of God, not of you, brother. sister. They are of God. The reason that we are all new is because of what God has wrought in our lives through His Son, Jesus Christ, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, you now have the joy and the privilege of helping people connect back with their Heavenly Father. Connect them back to God. Get them to know who God is by getting them to know first the Savior if they need to know Him. They need to know who the Son is. Get them, help them know. Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. Huh? But I'm such a creep. No, be of, hey, let's throw a party, our sins are forgiven. And if our sins are forgiven, then we can be healed. Yahoo! It's the ministry of reconciliation. It's not pointing fingers at everybody going, you're going to burn, baby. I like to do that every once in a while. I always wanted to be a hellfire and brimstone guy just for a few minutes. So I take these opportunities now and then. No, just kidding. All things are new. They're new because, yes, all your sins have been forgiven. And yes, now you have the right to be healed and to go forth and heal. That's the ministry of reconciliation. To show them the love and the grace first. Then they may want to come. Then they may want to come. You know, there were plenty of people that got born again after they got healed. All the people in the Gospels. They weren't born again. But they got healed. Then later, if they were, you know, made it, I'm sure they got born again. That's the ministry of reconciliation. Not propounding that people do something. Show them. Show them the love of God. Show them the power of God. Because we do it the same way He did it. To wit, the ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. To make sure people know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses. Not imputing their trespasses. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. We implore you in the stead of Christ. Because He is not here to implore you. We are here to implore you. Everywhere you go, you represent Him as a born-again believer. You are a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You have the same authority that you can walk with. Some people say, well, I got to be healed first before I can walk forth with that kind of authority. I just can't do it. Well, wait a minute. You knowing yourself after the flesh or after Christ? You want to keep focused on your flesh, then you'll never do a blessed thing for God until your flesh is right. Whether it be working on your shortcomings and making them better, or working on your sicknesses and getting yourself healed. No. You want to live unto God. You want to live unto Christ. You want to be an ambassador for Christ. Then don't worry about your flesh. Don't worry about your flesh. Don't even give it a second thought. Don't even give it a first thought. Okay? Move. All things are new now. Go show yourself to the priest. And as you go, we stand in the stead of Christ. We do. He's sitting down. He's relaxing. He's making intercession against the adversary. When the adversary comes with all those stupid accusations about you and your stupidity, our Lord and Savior looks at him and goes, hit the road, get out. Get out. Not listening. Sorry. This is my brother. This is my sister. This one represents me now. We are made the righteousness of God in Him. Not because of our flesh, but because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. We now have that kind of authority. You know, and you may not be in the flesh anything great. Or you may be something in the flesh really great. But that doesn't make a hill of beans a difference when it comes to the Spirit of God within you. Because you have Christ in you. In the same way Jesus Christ commanded for sickness to leave, the same way He commanded devil spirits to hit the road, the same way He encouraged people to be of good cheer because their sins are forgiven, you can walk that way. You can walk with that same confidence and authority because it has been entrusted to you. We have the word of reconciliation to carry forth this ministry of reconciliation. But it's not in word only, people. Paul did not come to them in word only, but with the manifestation of Spirit and power. We have got to marry the two of them. We know so much. Many of us know more Word of God, more Scripture than we really, really ever would need to know in 10 lifetimes. And I praise God for that. Because I love His Word. I love His Word more than anything. But all we need do is believe this much. Do not sell yourself short. Do not say less than what God says about you. Do not accept anything less than the truth that you, as you are right now, right here, right this second, that you are worthy of representing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are. Oh, but I've just gotten started in this thing. Shut up! You are! Oh, but I've been working at it for 30 years and I'm still having a time. You are. Believe in your heart who God has made you. And don't try and make yourself something. Because that doesn't work. There are people out there that work a lifetime trying to make themselves something. And yet, what God has made you so far surpasses what you could make of yourself. So move with the authority that God has given to you. Walk. Take one step. Take one step today. And as you go, you will see. You will see God open doors for you. You will see God bring people to you that have real needs, and you will be able to help them. You will be able to deliver them, either whether it be from spirits, from fears, from physical ailments, from sin consciousness, from whatever it is. You will be able, because you have been made able, to deliver people and to reconcile them back to God. Because when they are back together with their Heavenly Father, they will have real joy and meaning to their life, just like all of us. You know, when we reconnected with our Heavenly Father, when we realized who He is and what He's willing to do for us and what He has enabled us to do, it changed our lives. And all those good things that my life is now is not because of me, it's because of what God has wrought in my life by His grace and His mercy. So let's bring the power of God to the forefront. Let's not doubt. Let's believe God and see His power, because we have the authority. So, Father, we're grateful for Your grace and mercy, grateful for the way You continue to bless our lives and continue to work with us as we are, because you know our hearts and you know that we love you beyond anything, and we're grateful for the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we love him too, and we're thankful for the love that he had to do what he did for us. Thankful, Father, for his great example and how that we can walk in his steps. We can stand in his place now and walk forward with great authority, knowing that it's you that we work for and it's your Son that we represent. We're thankful, Father, that you continue to forgive us when we fall short, when we fail to believe you, when we doubt you. We're thankful that you encourage us and you lift us back up. We're thankful, God, that you strengthen our steps and that you continue to work with us, as your word says, so caring, so tender, and so loving. Thanks, Father, for this great fellowship and for each person here, for you healing their hearts, for you moving them in great ways in the week ahead to minister to those in need and to share the truth of your love and your word. Thanks, Father, for this fellowship again, for John and June and their family, for so lovingly preparing and having us be a part of this fellowship here today. Thank you for just all the things that we come to you with, Father, that you're there and you're hearing us and that you are willing and able to take care of those things that we request of you. Thanks, Father, for all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If anyone would need ministering to, if you have needs or anything, please, don't hesitate, okay? Because now is the time to get them taken care of so we can move forward, All right? So I just wanted to make sure you know that that's available. All right? Okay. John, thank you.
The healing power of the spoken word, right? What you heard, let it dwell in you richly. It doesn't get any better than that. That's all there is to it. We got lots of food.